This is the first time I've seen you in this new year, so a happy new year. And there can be a lot of happiness still in this this new year, which is a little bit different than previous years. And today we're going to look at the topic of God being sufficient. God is sufficient is the topic, and it's from the sermon series Songs to Inspire Travellers. Casey, is that slide coming up, the first one? That's it, yeah. And it's and we're doing a whole series on songs to inspire travellers. We are travellers. We're travelling through time. All of us are travelling through time. None of us can return to yesterday, and we're not quite at tomorrow yet. We're in between yesterday and tomorrow. And so we're all on this journey. And when we talk about the Christian faith is a journey, and it is a travel. It's like a travel experience where we go from one place to another. We're born, we live through life, and we eventually pass away and meet our Creator. But we're in this journey. And today we're going to look at this topic. And I want to just quote something that you've probably heard many, many times, is that we are living in unprecedented times. Now, I want to tell you a couple of things that I didn't expect that I would have to do in the last 12 months. Just working backwards, on Friday evening I conducted a wedding. And it's the first time I've ever had police show up in face masks to inspect the venue before the service began. And the people at the function centre were a bit sort of shaken, but the police were doing spot checks of function centres and other places, clubs, etc., on Friday evening. And we're only about 12 minutes away from the service starting. So all people were in expectation of the bride showing up, and the blue and white car showed up, but there was no bride. There was two police officers in face masks. But they were very, very appropriate and very, very gentle, but they just came to do a check that we had everything set up appropriately. I didn't expect that, so that's unprecedented. Another unprecedented thing is I worked for Hammond Care at Warunga for a few days and then in the community for a few days. And about 3 weeks ago, I had to destroy some flowers that were sent to the facility before they even got to the person. We had to take photographs. They didn't even get into the building because they were brought by someone who shouldn't have come from the Northern Beaches when the Northern Beaches was a no-go zone. And I'd never thought I'd actually destroy a $100 bouquet of flowers that was sent to somebody for Christmas. But that's just something that we've had to do. It's in there. And a lot of people working in healthcare and aged care have had to do things that go against the grain of what we would normally do. Another unprecedented thing I've done is having a face mask on when I go into petrol stations and other things. I've just do that as a second nature now. But in the big scheme of things, because there's been many changes ever since the time of Adam and Eve, we are always living in unprecedented times. One of the myths that people try to hang on to is that we can keep things exactly the same as they were in a certain point of time. And there has always been change. And since the time of Adam and Eve, there's been unprecedented times. Change is a constant. In our world, change is a constant. And the example is growth. And when a baby is born, we expect that baby to grow and change. And all of us are growing in different ways, emotionally, physically, spiritually. A decline is part of change too. And we know, you know, things grow and decline. Empires come and go. Governments come and go. Decline is a natural part of this world we live in. And there's different reasons for that. Aging. Now, some people try and fight aging, you know, with creams and Botox and all sorts of things. But ageing is just part of our life. And ageing is a natural occurrence. And one of the things for we as Christians, I think we need to realise, is that there are very few things that are constant. And sometimes we would like to have things in our environment or in our lifestyle stay the same as it was in a certain point when we really, really thought it was as good as it could be. But change is actually a natural part and something we need to learn to be with. And for we as Christians, we need to be realise that we walk with Christ on a journey, and the only one who is constant is God. And there's that saying, Jesus Christ, the same forever. Yesterday, today and forever. We see that there's also a lot of social disharmony, and that causes, there's different times when there's been social disharmony and protest and crime, and those things cause a bit of unease because they change the way we feel about our world. And we know in recent years we've seen a whole lot of things happen in the world scene to do with Hong Kong and the USA and other places, and in Southeast Asia and in the Pacific region. There have been massive changes in politics and social things that have caused a bit of angst. And Psalm 16 is a very relevant and inspiring psalm for us today. And on the next, that's it. And it's there's a couple of things I just want to point out is, in Psalm 16, verse 1 says, "Keep me safe, my God, for in you I take refuge." It's a prayer. If the writer of the psalm wants a sense of safety because things are beyond their control. Things are changing. Things are uncertain. And it's a prayer for many who feel challenged by changes in the world. Now, my wife is more averse to change than I am. I actually like change, and probably this is why God has probably led me into the different types of ministry. I've been involved, most of my ministry has been in youth ministry and in palliative care and in dementia care and in high school ministry. And I've always been associated with churches or Christian organisations. But in all those, there's always massive changes going on. And I actually get quite energised and quite... I feel at home when the sands are shifting. And as you know, I was involved in the disaster recovery process as well. And I get quite... I feel quite at home in that sort of mode. And so I'm sort of wired to kind of... to be prepared for change. But I know other people in my family, they don't like it. And they get quite uneasy. And many people get quite uneasy when things are changing and there's a lot of unexpected changes. One of the things that drives my wife nuts is if I go into a cafe, I'll just have something I haven't ever had before. Because I'm quite happy to try something new. And one of the blessings is I can go anywhere and eat the food of any community and try it with a sense of joy. Whereas I know other people, they go in and they only want to have the one thing that they've always had since day dot. I have a friend in Pennant Hills Baptist Church who always, every day of his life, has a salmon sandwich. He makes it the night before and he has it the next day for lunch. Every day, even on the weekends. he is adaptable to change in some other ways, but he has this very, very fixed routine. Whereas to me, I quite like the experience of not being sure what I'm going to have until, you know, it happens. But this prayer here in verse 1 is a prayer for many who feel challenged by changes. Now, there are some of the changes that I've seen in the world recently that have challenged me and made me think, gee, we really need to seek God's guidance and wisdom to know how to face these changes. And even just the changes that have been caused by the response to this coronavirus have affected all of us greatly. And I think we really need to think about how we can actually live well as Christians in this changed environment. In verse 2, it says, "I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. Apart from you, I have no good thing." And this is a key to living well in these times of change. It's a realistic perspective in times of change. In these times of change, if we realise that there are things that many things that are not a constant and are changing. In fact, when I learnt very as a teenager, as a Christian response, when going into situations where there's families in crisis, where there might be, sometimes we've gotten into situations where there's people who are violent or suicidal or very ill, and their changing health is changing very dramatically. I've learnt that in those situations, and in fact, I even learnt it in my, when I worked in my trade beforehand. I used to, when I did my trade training, I worked with teams who were emergency response teams. I think God was preparing me for pastoral ministry, even my trade when I left school. And so you'd walk into a situation where something had broken down or exploded or fallen apart, and you had to and things weren't the way they should be. And so you had to work out how to make things safe, how to help people, or how to help the situation have a sense of order and recovery from whatever went wrong. And what I've learnt in all these situations is you're not sure what you're going to find each day, but we can know that God is constant. God loves us. God knows us. Because of Christ, his Spirit is in our hearts. And they're the only things that are constant, the only things. But if we are confident of our faith in Christ and we are aware of his Holy Spirit guiding us and feeding us, if we have a sense or memory of some scriptures, that can put us in a position where we can be, I suppose, calm and have a sense of order when things can be strange and chaotic. And the writer of this psalm in verse 2 says, I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. Apart from you, I have no good thing. And in verse 3, there's another example of how faith for people can be encouraging and inspiring. One of the things that's inspired me, particularly as a young Christian, was I worked with a pastor, and we would do door knocking. Back in the 70s and 80s, it was a lot of churches used to do door knocking of people in the local community. And when you door knock in a community, you're not sure who you're going to find behind the door. If there's a big gate or if there's no gate, but there's a dog bowl in the yard, you wonder what sort of pet is in the yard. You're not sure who you're going to find. But I remember this pastor, he was a man, he'd grown up in Northern Ireland. And he'd grown up in Northern Ireland when there was very, very graphic sectarianism between Protestants and Catholics. And there was the terrorist actions of and the violence from both sides towards each other. And so he had confidence to go door knocking in Australia. And just his demeanour, his faith in God, we would pray before we'd go into any house. We would just be confident and pleasant and believe that the person we were going to meet was somebody whom God loved. And that example has stuck with me in every encounter I've had ever since. And so his example really spoke a lot to my heart. And the example of faithful people is inspiring and encouraging. And I'm sure you can actually think of people who've inspired you as Christians in certain situations. People who've inspired you in times of tragedy, or people who've been good witnesses of the gospel, or people who've been very, very caring, or people who have had a particular gift and way of serving the Lord that has been very, very impressive. And that is something to really take hold of, to take note of that and to be encouraged by that. In verse 3 it says, I say of the holy people who are in the land, they are the noble ones, in whom is all my delight. Now we move on to the next slide, I think it's the next slide, where there's another, in verses 4 and 5, it says, those who run after other gods will suffer more and more. So we start off by saying, pointing to the good example, but then in verses 4 and 5, it says, those who run after other gods will suffer more and more. I will not pour out libations of blood to such gods or take up their names on my lips. Lord, you alone are my portion and my cup. You make my lot secure. Now, one of the keys to living well in these times of change is to be careful not to embrace idols. Idols will look attractive, but they will actually be our downfall. because they don't provide ultimate security. And some of the idols that are around today are people believe that material wealth is all they need to be secure. Material wealth is helpful, resources are useful, but wealth in of its own is not enough to protect us from the things that will come our way that are beyond our control. Only God is. Another thing is weapons and power. One of the things that is very, very evident in this pandemic is that some of the countries with the best weapons and the best walls and the best military structures have been devastated by this virus. And so it doesn't matter how much military power different countries have, whether it's Russia or the USA or the UK or somewhere else, or Saudi Arabia or any of those places, or China, they still have had many, many people who've suffered from this virus that's come in. And so weapons themselves can be an idol. Some people will trust in weapons and physical strength, and that was actually a very, very dangerous situation to be in, because when we, in our lives, the only protector, the true protector, is God. Again, weapons and these things have their place, and all these things I'm talking about, weapons and wealth, also science and technology. Science and technology is very, very helpful, but that alone will not be our saviour. And I think as we progress as communities in this time with addressing just the effect of illness and this virus and other things, science and technology are very helpful, but they alone will not save us. They alone will not protect us. And that's where I think we have to be prayerful and pray. Pray for those who are making decisions referring to the scientific data and information, so that there will be good decisions made that will be helpful to society, but ones that show that there is more to life than just biology. And in our work with Hammond Care, and I get Mark's here today. He works in the IT team with Hammond Care, and one of the things we talk about, particularly in the residential aged care, is managing risk. And that is working out, okay, we need to make sure our infection control systems are top standard. We need to make sure that our processes are excellent. At the same time, we have to realise that people have emotional needs and spiritual needs and social needs that are as important as the biological needs. And just managing risk and balancing the risks, particularly in aged care settings and hospital settings, is very, very important. And for example, if someone is extremely unwell, there is special provisions for them to still have visitors when others are excluded. And another thing that we're doing as an organisation with Hammond Care, where we have a partnering in care program, where people who are relatives and friends of a particular residence can do special training so that when there's a general exclusion, like there was a week ago for aged care homes, people who've done that preparation are still allowed to visit with certain protocols. And that's because we realise that, particularly for people with dementia, it's important for some of them just to have the familiar voice and the familiar presence of someone just to help them to continue with their daily routines. And so managing risk is very important. And another thing is our own skills and intelligence. Sometimes we rely on our own skills. We think, okay, I'm strong enough to do this, I'm powerful enough to do this, I am smart enough to do this. Well, the things that will come our way are greater than our own skills and intelligence. And I think we have to realise that some of these things in themselves can become like idols, where we depend on them more than we depend upon God. They all have their proper place, but they're not sufficient in their own right to protect our souls. And this psalm here is written for God's people, and it's talking about what is a value for knowing protection and wisdom and guidance so we can have safe souls and souls that will travel well in changing times. Now, the next slide, please, Casey. In verses 6, 7 and 8, it says, "The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance. I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night my heart instructs me. I keep my eyes always on the Lord. With him at my right hand, I will not be shaken." This is probably the catchphrase verses for this God is sufficient theme in this message. And hope is found, and we can have hope, we can have a sense of joy. And we as Christian people, in times like these, we can have a sense of hope and joy when we put our trust in the Lord, and we need to live sensibly and live appropriately and comply with the things that are important for good health and good well-being. And as well as that, if we have a focus on the Lord, that will give us a sense of positive approach and a sense of confidence and courage. We don't need to be scared of all these things that are beyond our control. One thing we should be scared of is forgetting God in our lives, because that is the greatest danger. That's a bigger danger than anything else that will come our way. The writer of this psalm very clearly in verses 7 and 8 says, "I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night my heart instructs me. I keep my eyes always on the Lord. With him at my right hand, I will not be shaken." And that's a real sense of confidence. We can know confidence, peace in our hearts. We can have a sense of hope and a joy. We can be happy. Now, I know one of the strange things that this year was that there was some New Year's Eve celebrations around the world, and there were empty streets or empty parks or empty pavilions. And it's a bit like a birthday party when no one shows up. And there's a bit of sort of, that's a bit kind of, a bit of a letdown, a bit sad. But we as Christians can have a sense of joy. And our joy will come by having this vibrant, growing relationship with Christ. That's where we have our joy. And it should always be the case. And sometimes situations like what we're living in now can actually just highlight our need for getting back to God. Another thing is, joy for all of us is found in a secure relationship with God. In verses 9 to 11, it says, "Therefore my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest secure, because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead, nor will you let your faithful one see decay. You make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand." This writer has a real sense of confidence. And I've learned it in other times of my life, and I'm learning now, is that our source of joy, our source of hope, our source of confidence is in a vibrant relationship with God. And I want to move on to the application slide, which is the next slide, because this is how we can actually have this sense of joy and we can live well and really apply this concept of God being sufficient. We need to nurture our faith in Christ. You know, I'm sure many of you have been nurturing your kitchens and bathrooms and cars in disinfectant wipes and hand sanitizer and eco-friendly cleaners and all that sort of stuff. All good stuff. We've got that in our house too. But we nurture our faith in Christ through prayer, being prayerful. And that's one thing I learnt from this minister when I was door knocking in the streets of Marsfield and Eastwood as a teenager. There was that when we're prayerful, we are reaching out and connecting with our Heavenly Father. And we are developing our relationship with God and being very aware of our relationship with God every step of the way. So prayer is really important. And I encourage you to be prayerful. Pray without ceasing. Pray for everyone you meet. Pray for everyone you know. Pray about every situation you go into. Whether it's something administrative at work or whether it is something that is a very big issue, whether it's a problem, pray about everything. And make prayer conversational. You don't have to always get down on your knees and close your eyes to pray, and please don't do that if you're driving a car. But you can always talk to the Lord about every situation. And develop practices of prayer. Some people have a time of day when they pray. Some people will pray when they get up early in the morning and they'll pray in the evening. Other people will have a routine of praying at other times. I do pray. I have my prayer time in the morning. But just have a time, some sort of time in your day where you pray regularly, and then just pray incidentally about the different people and situations you find yourself with. Scripture reading. Reading psalms like this is encouraging. Reading other psalms and proverbs is encouraging. Reading the teachings of Jesus in the New Testament is inspirational. And that can give us a sense of hope, because if you, I want to encourage you, I'm not sure how much you follow social media or even just watch news broadcasts on different broadcasters, but I encourage you to, if you read scripture, spend as much time reading scripture as you do watching news bulletins, that'll be helpful. I'm sure most of us watch more news than we spend time reading the Bible. But if you discipline yourself to half an hour Bible reading and only half an hour news, that would be a good exercise for all of us, I think. And scripture reading is good because the scriptures is the word of God. All scripture is useful for teaching and correction and guidance. And this is what we are looking for, particularly in times like these. It's also important to live honestly and obediently with Christ. One of the sayings that I learnt is very important for people who are unwell is to be honest to God. Just being honest to God about who you are and where you are and what you're doing is a really helpful thing. And being honest in our conversations, being honest in our prayerfulness, being honest with others, practicing confession to God in our prayers is really important. Being honest to God is really, it's a really releasing thing, and it's a really liberating thing. And also living obediently with Christ, trying to obey his ways and follow his teachings as we are with people in every day of our lives. Following the two commandments, the great commandments, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind and strength. Love your neighbour as yourself. Being considerate to others, showing kindness and love and grace to others is really important. Another thing we need to do is discard idols. If while I've been talking about idols today, you've thought, oh gee, look, I have placed too much trust in wealth or in something else, put it in its place. Make sure there is only one who is your object of worship, and that is God. If we are spending all our time, all our thoughts, all our energy on thinking about something that is greater than God, then that needs to be reordered. It might need to be thrown out if it's something that's not helpful. But it certainly needs to be reordered. We should never have anyone in our hearts or our minds who is greater than God in our thinking. And another thing we can do is give thanks and praise to God. It is good to praise God. In this psalm, the person certainly has a sense of praise and worship of God. So praise God, give thanks to him, and give thanks to him for what we do have. We can give thanks to God in this state that we have a robust health system, that we've had a well-coordinated response in many ways to what's happened with this virus. Compared to other parts of the world, we are in a very blessed situation. We can be thankful for that. We can be thankful that for what we do have, as far as our resources, our opportunities. We can be thankful that we've got a lovely sunny Sydney summer day today. Be thankful for those things. Be thankful for fresh air. Be thankful for all the good things that give us a sense of joy and hope and blessing. We can be thankful that we've got food to eat today in this country. It's a real blessing. There are places that in this world where the whole access to food and health has been limited, and even more so in the last year. And so we can be thankful for ourselves and prayerful and see if we can do something to help others in need. I want to go have a time of prayer now, and I encourage you to join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we are thankful for this psalm, and we're thankful that the writer of the psalm was one who had a sense of hope and focus on you. And obviously that they were facing times where there were difficulties and there were changes and there were challenges, and yet they very clearly saw that you were sufficient to guide them through whatever they were going through. And we pray that we would have a strengthening of our hope, a strengthening of our faith, and a clearer revelation of Jesus Christ as our Lord and our Saviour. And if there are things in our hearts and minds that are idols, things that we have relied on more than we've relied on you, we pray that you would reorder those things in our lives. And if there's any of those things that are destructive or sinful, we pray that you would help us discard them from our lives and get them out of our hearts and our minds. We pray too for our family members and friends who are living in other parts of the world. And I pray for some friends who are in London and some who are in Hong Kong. And I just pray that you would bring blessing to those people and give them your blessing and protection and wisdom. And I pray that they too would find hope in you as the one who is sufficient when things are strange and hard for them. And Heavenly Father, we also do just thank you that we have this opportunity to meet here in this church. Help us to always be grateful for what we have and to look to you with a sense of thankfulness and praise as the one who provides these things for us. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.